I want to talk about the latest development, and that's reports indicate Thursday's Supreme Court near unanimous decision in the matter of, is it Pereira versus Sessions, may open a body of legal tools potentially beneficial to those at risk of what's being deemed a zero-tolerance policy as acted on by the Trump administration. What tools are we talking about here?
What basically happens when an immigrant is put into immigration proceedings with the immigration court, Department of Homeland Security officials hand over what is called a notice to appear. It's akin to a summons in a criminal case, saying, hey, so-and-so person, DHS is alleging that you are deportable for these reasons, and so we're ordering you to go to court at this date and time. Well, oftentimes, Department of Homeland Security officials, they never fill out that form correctly. They'll just say, show up to court at a date and time to be set. And an immigrant, Berea, he fought his case all the way up to the Supreme Court, and in an 8-1 decision, the Supreme Court agreed, said, yep, if DHS hasn't filled out that notice to appear correctly, then the clock on when they're actually being placed into removal proceedings doesn't stop running. And why that's important is there's several different defenses to deportation that require a certain period of time in the United States in order to qualify for those defenses, the major one being cancellation of removal. And so for thousands of immigrants across the country and right here in Colorado, this Supreme Court decision may open up new legal avenues for immigrants to fight their cases. And so it's a pretty technical victory, but one that has really far-reaching implications. And what we're seeing here at the Meyer Law Office is, listen, we're living in a moment where Jeff Sessions is single-handedly trying to rewrite immigration law, and to see the Supreme Court weigh in so forcefully and say, nope, DHS has to do its job and follow the rules just like everybody else, I think is important. And so for folks who may have questions around their immigration cases, we really do encourage people to go and seek a consultation with a trusted immigration attorney who can help them navigate and see if this decision is going to be beneficial to them in their individual cases.
What do you find the most notable as it applies to the local impact of this protocol? I've seen coverage suggesting that some children are being transported as far north as Illinois. Are there applicable processing centers here in Colorado? And if so, who operates them?
For better or worse, Colorado does have its own privately run immigration detention center known as the GEO ICE Processing Center. It's located here in Aurora, Colorado, and it does detain up to, I believe, 1,400 individuals per day. And we have heard reports that parents who were separated from their children at the border when they presented themselves to apply for asylum are being detained here in Aurora. We have not heard reports of children being detained here in Colorado. But quite honestly, what we are seeing is parents who are separated from their U.S. citizen children who are detained here at the Aurora Detention Center every day. And we are seeing that family separation play out here in Colorado. And so we are very closely monitoring the situation. I know that organizations such as the Rocky Mountain Immigrant Advocacy Network, the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, the American Friends Service Committee, they are all doing tremendous amounts of work to make sure that the individuals in detention are, one, receiving correct legal advice, and then, two, trying to trace back the threads to be able to reunite with their children. Because the Trump administration is being so opaque right now as to how these kids are going to be reunited with their parents, there are so many questions. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of good people doing a tremendous amount of hard work.
There are two long-standing private and for-profit prison service deliverers who've been prominently mentioned throughout the coverage of this current set of circumstances, but I am seeing newer names too, like MBM Inc. and Southwest Key Programs, as well as off-market giants like General Dynamics. Who do you see as benefiting the most in a monetary fashion as a result of the shift in enforcement, which according to local reports earlier this year, have already jumped by 40% under the Trump administration?
To me, any company that is profiting off of human misery should be ashamed and should change their business practices immediately. I was encouraged to see, because of the public outrage, several of the airlines, including United Airlines, American Airlines, and I believe Frontier Airlines, who declined to fly any of these children who had been separated from their parents from one processing center to another. And I think that that's the result of public pressure. And we're seeing these private organizations that benefit from misery, and it's appalling. Here in Colorado, I think the biggest profiteer of that human pain and suffering is certainly the GEO Group, which operates the ICE processing detention center here. And they are heavily invested in by Wells Fargo and have been for years. And I think that the more that we do to ensure that those corporations are held accountable, that's going to be how we work to end that private immigration detention. One of the things that we've seen here in Colorado, the Meyer Law Office is actually part of a federal class action lawsuit against the GEO Group, because not only are they a private immigration detention facility, but they were also engaged in forced labor actions, where oftentimes GEO would force the immigrant detainees themselves to clean the detention facility for as little as a dollar a day under threat of being placed under solitary confinement if the detainee declined to do that work. And so there are so many different abuses that GEO is responsible for here in Colorado, and they're profiteering off of that human misery, and they should be held to account for that.
Does this policy flirt with violation of internationally recognized human rights laws?
It's an incredibly important question, and yet in the same week as we are witnessing babies being put in jails, the Trump administration pulled out of the UN's Human Rights Council. And there are deep questions around what sorts of lasting impacts and psychological or even physical trauma that these children are suffering. Say an adult is being held here at GEO here in Aurora, but their U.S. citizen child is here in Denver or in Boulder or in Lafayette or what have you, and is wondering whether they're going to see their parents again. And that sort of pain and suffering is also deeply scarring, and it's traumatic. And I would hope that our elected officials at the federal level understand the pain and the trauma that they are inflicting upon families and do better.
I ran into an October story from the Washington Post. Points out that the GEO Group held its annual leadership conference for the first time ever, not near their headquarters in Boca Raton, but at a Trump-owned hotel. And that firm also hired two former legislative aides working for Attorney General Jeff Sessions as lobbyists. According to data at Open Secrets, more than two dozen former Sessions staffers are now or have acted as lobbyists. Are those lesser-known facts as or more relevant than the political rhetoric that we see and hear bantered about?
That's news to me and shocking, and yet I'm so not surprised by the fact that there is a revolving door between the private prison industry and lobbyists and elected officials. I think Jeff Sessions has forgotten that he is responsible, not to these private corporations, but to the American people, to uphold our Constitution. And our Constitution includes ensuring due process rights for all people in any court matter, whether or not they are a U.S. citizen. And so to see Jeff Sessions trample on our Constitution is appalling. And to learn of this, that they're gallivanting at a Trump hotel with all of these private prison lobbyists, I wish I could say I was surprised, and yet it is just another indication of how much work we have to do to make sure that an immigrant can receive a fair day in court.
Some of the contracts awarded by the Department of Homeland Security, which is where I believe ICE is housed, cover a time span of more than 10 years into the future. One I found for services performed here in Aurora to the GEO Group, valued at a total of more than $45 million. Half of that amount has already been paid out, yet the expiration date is not till 2021. It was entered into in 2011. What level of responsibility do legislators at the federal level bear in the current circumstances? Circumstances as a result of legislation that mandated 34,000 beds a day be made available to detain undocumented workers back in 2009.
The quotas that ICE has put forward and the contracts that our federal elected officials have allowed to be signed not only incentivize but mandate profiteering off of human misery. And there's a better, there's smarter ways to ensure that immigrants appear for their civil court dates. These are not criminal proceedings. These are civil administrative law proceedings. Quite frankly, what we're seeing in the entire immigration system is a deep backlog. At the national level, there's about 700,000 people who are in proceedings with the immigration court. In Colorado specifically, there's over 11,000 people who are trying to navigate their immigration cases.
I've been talking with Julie Gonzalez, Policy Director at the Meyer Law Firm. For KGNU, this is Robin Ryan.